Blog Talk Radio.
Boys and girls, and you know what that means. It means that it is time for Eat Me. You know, the terrible thing about having three meals a day is it just has to become repetitive. I don't care if it's your mother fixing it or, you know, the home for the aged like I live in. Take, for example, the home. We had brats and sauerkraut tonight, which Eli would have really enjoyed with red potatoes. Not bad. We haven't had brats for a while, but every breakfast is scrambled eggs. Every breakfast. And now I know why prisoners complain about their food. I used to work at the Maricopa County Jail in Phoenix. Inmates received a peanut butter sandwich, a juice box, and an orange. We called those LADMO bags. You gave us any trouble at all, and we put those three ingredients into a blender and served it to you in liquid form. Nutritious maybe, but aesthetically lacking. Food is what makes the world go round, and so this podcast, Eat Me on Mancini Media, where we seemingly talk about everything except food. We've got Eli, Peggy, Paco from West Virginia, Captain Jet, and yours truly, from the home for the infirm and aged. Welcome to another episode of As the Stomach Turns. May God have mercy on our souls. I'm John Guy.
And I'm Peg Palmer. And Eli should be coming pretty soon. I'm not sure where he is.
And
we have Jackson, right?
Do we have Jackson?
Jackson?
I don't hear Jackson. We had a guy call in about 3 minutes before we started the show. Name of Jackson, and he was a listener, and he decided to call in, and, well, I scared the hell out of him, evidently, because I suggested he be on the show tonight. And that didn't go well. Go figure. I don't know. The studio line is 347-205-9631. Because Eli's late, Captain Jet's late, Paco's late, everybody's late except Peggy, myself, and Jackson, who apparently is not going to talk. Then we welcome anyone to call that wonderful studio number and be a part of tonight's show. What the hell? I mean, come on. You're not doing anything else. You may as well have some madcap fun on Eat Me. Peggy, how was your week?
It was pretty good. It's really hot. Very, very hot. I bet it's really hot in Arizona, too. Florida's been just hot and humid. And it's always so strange here because you can be at one end of town and it's pouring rain and it's, you know, it's like you can hardly see in front of your face. And then drive a mile or two and there's not a speck of rain, which is where my house is, where there wasn't any rain at all, but we just desperately needed it. So,
well, you'd love it out here then.
Tell us about the desert. Is it really hot as last year? I mean, didn't you have like 117
I think we've already hit that. We're supposed to, this weekend, we're supposed to hit 120 plus. Now, I don't care. Anything over 110 is the same to me. It's frickin' hot. And all you try to do is find either shade or air conditioning. Now, what's interesting about where I live now is there are a lot of the people here in wheelchairs. And what they'll do is they'll take their oxygen tank off, leave it in the dining hall, come out and have a cigarette.
Yeah.
And basically chain smoke. And I keep wondering to myself, how many people are going to burst into flames because they forgot to leave their oxygen tank back in the dining room?
That would seem like smart.
Well, it would be a YouTube moment, Peggy.
Well, you would. Keep your phone camera on just in case.
I mean, God only, it's funny. Well, not ha-ha, oh, damn it, yes it is. It's ha-ha funny. The fact that people, you know, they'll have emphysema, be hooked up on oxygen, maybe coming off of, you know, some kind of drug, and yet they're out there chain smoking. They have no money, you know, so they're bumming smokes. And, you know, they have no money. They maybe have no legs or arms, or they're missing vital parts of the human anatomy. But there they are in their wheelchairs, gunning it to a shady tree so they can smoke. Go figure.
Guess what? Captain Jet should be on, I think.
Yep, I'm here.
Jackson. This is the famous Jackson.
This is Captain Jet, I think.
Yep, it's
who?
The Captain, the Undertaker.
The Captain! Oh, my God, Captain Jet is joining us tonight. I feel we missed you, buddy.
How you doing?
How are things?
Good. Can't complain.
Oh, it's because you're a New York Jets season ticket holder.
Yep. I hear you talking about oxygen and smoking.
Yes, sir.
I have never, in all the years that I've associated with hospitals, all the years in the 40 years that I had association, because we picked up a lot of bodies in hospitals.
Well,
and
sure.
I have never ever heard or seen a hospital room explode because somebody was smoking with oxygen on.
Well, then there's that memorable scene from the television series Breaking Bad, in which the hospital room is detonated. But that's got to be, if you've got an oxygen tank and an oxygen tube, isn't that a fire hazard?
It's a fire hazard, but I've never, ever heard of somebody blowing up a room because they were smoking around an oxygen tank.
Huh.
The only oxygen accident I have ever heard was Apollo 1. That was it.
Well, or that little mini submarine that was thinking it was going to go explore the Titanic.
Oh, I don't know. I would have never heard of that ship.
Yeah, they had apparently an oxygen issue or some kind of a gaseous issue. But
that was a privately funded deal. You never go on a privately funded deal like that because it's always somebody trying to make a buck. The guy that made the money on that wasn't on the ship. I'll guarantee you that.
That's correct.
Wasn't he? Wasn't the president of the company on that little?
No. There was nobody there that funded that.
Huh. Oh,
probably
by the way,
not. But they did pay a lot of money to be on that.
$250,000.
To blow up.
Yeah. Well,
the only good thing there, they never knew what hit them.
That's true. That's number one. But again, if you're buying your parts to your submarine at Home Depot, and you're using a Game Boy controller to navigate, what the hell are you doing on it, you know?
Yep.
I mean, that's right there. It means they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yep. Hey, guys, we've got fans calling in. Lance from Pensacola, Florida, my state, says, welcome back, Leatherface. Is that Captain Jack? Anyway, we definitely missed him, buried bodies and taking football.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we did.
I'll tell you a quick story, the best one I ever had at the funeral home. We get this diver. It was a deep sea diver. He was diving on he was salvaging a wreck of an airplane. The airplane was at a depth. I forget the depth he was at. He was below 300 feet. He was in a full helmet and on full oxygen, and he recovered. There was three bodies on this airplane. He recovered the bodies. He tied it to the buoy, and something happened where his helmet mask exploded. And his body was, for the decompression, was totally crushed into the helmet. His whole body went into the helmet. And when they recovered
it. That's got to hurt.
No, he never knew what hit him. I mean, it happened in a millisecond. But I told you that. It's not funny. It's really sad. But he was totally imploded into the helmet, and when we were picking him up for the funeral, and we get there and it was a cardboard box. He was in a box 2x2, and I said, "What the heck happened with this guy?" And they said he was imploded in a diving accident. So we opened the box. We get to the funeral home and we're going to put it in a casket. We open the box. And the diving helmet was still in the diving helmet. His whole body was crushed
okay.
into the diving helmet.
A couple of things here. Number one, obviously with his entire body stuck into his helmet, he wasn't going to be cremated.
No, he was buried. I shouldn't even laugh because it was, I felt so bad. I really did. I said, this guy, but the good part, he never knew what hit him.
Yeah, as much as you're feeling bad, you know, think about how he felt. There he was, crammed into a helmet. Huh. But by the same token, that does make one hell of a commercial for the helmet manufacturer.
Whoa. Oh.
Oh.
Another comment here. Tony from Atascadero, California says, sounds like John is walking around Roswell, New Mexico as a talent for The Walking Dead. Aha. Uh-huh. And we're
uh-huh.
100.
How many?
So, 103 so far. So
oh,
everybody
we,
out there says,
we need more than that.
Definitely.
Absolutely. So what's the latest from the New York Jets there, Captain?
Well, we're going to find out. The training camp opens up soon, and we're going to find out.
Where do you guys hold training camp?
We have a place up in Jersey, North Jersey. The Jets have their own facility. It's, it's like a $600 million facility. And they got tired of going out. We used to go to Hofstra University, and I guess they got tired of going there. Yeah, I guess they got tired of going there. I used to make the trek all the way out to Hofstra. So that's like a 4-hour ride to me.
Whoa!
So,
didn't you guys have a quarterback from Hofstra at one point in time? I don't
know. Sanchez. Oh, not Sanchez. What the heck was his name?
There you go.
I forget who he was.
It wasn't Brian Dowling, that's for sure.
No. It was, I forget who it was.
Yeah, it rings a bell, though, that you'd had a
QB
from Hofstra.
Yeah.
Hofstra's D1, isn't it?
No, it's D2.
It's D2? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All righty, well.
Billy from Germantown, Pennsylvania said, did you hear about the idiot that blew off his hand holding an M80 firework? On a completely different what we were talking about. But
that's blowing things up.
Yeah, that there is normal for the 4th of July. I mean, every idiot comes out of the closet every 4th of July to blow something off.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I wonder what the death toll was in America on the 4th of July.
Well, if you go online, I have a 4th of July rant I do every year, and I put a big thing out on Facebook about people that are blowing themselves up and blowing their hands off and keep your kids in the house on 4th of July, and I go through a big rant. I write a big rant about the 4th of July. I've seen devastation from fireworks. So I don't think anybody should go anywhere near them.
Probably not. You know, they cause the same kind of damage as if you're in the military and you get hit.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, with something like a rocket-propelled grenade, that kind of thing, it's just going to blow things off of you. And in the scheme of things, you really don't want to be losing body parts.
No, that's for sure.
It's not recommended. Not at all. And
I worked all through 9/11. And that was the worst in my 35 years. That was the worst thing I ever went through.
I would think.
You know, I mean, we were poor people were they were finding parts, little parts of people, and they were identifying it with DNA, and we were putting in small parts of bodies into full size caskets because the people wanted some kind of closure, you know. And it was terrible. It was a terrible, terrible time for the industry. Yeah. And I've seen a lot of horror in my career.
Now, so you were ground zero then, right?
Yeah. I worked at I wouldn't work at ground zero. They asked for anybody, funeral home workers, morticians, and everything to go up and help. But I wouldn't go up there for the plain reason for the asbestos that was flying around. Those buildings were loaded with asbestos. They built them with asbestos around all the piping and everything. And those people were breathing that stuff in. You got people. The biggest tragedy of 9/11 isn't the people that died that day. It's the people that are dying afterwards. There's three times the amount of people dying now from 9/11 than there was on the actual day.
Do you recall there was a delicatessen right there by Ground Zero that fed so many of the volunteers?
Yeah.
And I don't remember the name of it, but my wife and I ate there a couple of times on our trip to New York City, and it was, we should at least mention something about food. They had good food.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you work downtown Manhattan, that's the best part of downtown Manhattan. You have two-hour lunches. All the businesses and all the offices down there have two-hour lunches because the food in the restaurants is unbelievable.
I did that in Chicago. I never did that. It's also very expensive in New York City to have a two-hour lunch.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're not getting off easily on that, but... No, I know what you're talking about. I did that in Chicago down on down in the Loop, and the Golden Mile or whatever. I don't know. They were serving filet mignon sliders for an appetizer.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, whoa. And they were good. And then I look over to my left and, let's see, Jesse Jackson was eating at a table to my left. I mean, this was a very expensive restaurant. And fortunately, my food was being comped by a basketball league owner, and he had to have dropped, there were four of us at the table, and he had to have dropped $250 on appetizers alone.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
Yeah, it is. But what's the most you've ever spent for food?
In a restaurant with three people, it cost me $475 for dinner.
Wow.
Yep.
Nice. Where was that located?
That was at Sparks Steakhouse, the famous Sparks Steakhouse.
Okay.
Sparks Steakhouse was where they had that mob hit with Paul Castellano and Thomas Roddy.
Oh, yeah.
And I've eaten there a couple of times. They have tremendous food, but very expensive.
Yeah. So if you need a last meal,
you go to Sparks.
As the mobsters apparently did, you go there. Okay.
Yep.
Now. $475?
Yep.
Wow.
Special dinner.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was a good dinner.
Peggy once spent, I don't know, $4.75 up in Benson, Minnesota. What'd you get for that? A burger, right?
Actually, this is back when I was a teenager, but there was a place called Breen's Drugstore, and they had a soda fountain area and a little food area, and you could get like a hamburger or cheeseburger for like a quarter and probably like a dime for a Coke. So everybody would go after school. Of course, this was back in the dark ages, but it was amazing.
I can remember when you had your very first job. And for those of you who are listening, all 100 of you, I want to clarify that Peggy's first job, believe it or not, I worked with her. That's how we know each other. And I think I can say four words, and it will bring back some really good memories for Peggy, and that is American Bar and Grill.
I was just thinking about that.
In Ladysmith, Wisconsin, up in Indian Head country, the American Bar and Grill is still open.
Is it? We used to laugh because it was called American Bar and Grill, rooms reasonably cheap.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you could get, they had the best cheeseburgers I've ever had in my life. As God is my witness, they knew how to make a cheeseburger. Now, speaking of cheeseburgers, last week we talked about steamed cheeseburgers. Have you ever had one of those, Ray?
No.
That's popular in Connecticut.
Yeah. I air fry everything. I air fry everything.
Yeah. Okay. Steam them, I just, that is foreign
good.
To me. Well, apparently the cheese covers the entire burger. Everything just sort of oozes together. And
yeah,
they swear
that,
by
that's
them
that liquid
in Connecticut.
Cheese, though. That's that
yeah,
liquid cheese.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. So what'd you have to eat that, where the hell is Eli?
I don't know. I hope he didn't get food poisoning from his breakfast. He always posts his breakfast on Facebook.
Yes, he does.
It's always hearty breakfast.
Yeah, it's, yeah, his breakfasts, and I'm not, you know, being generous when I say this, they're tremendously large. And
like
possibly unidentifiable.
Sometimes you put so much pepper on him, you can't even tell what it is. He must really
That's right.
Pepper.
He loves pepper. Yes, he does. And, you know, because he's not on tonight, we should talk about him. Yeah. We could volunteer him for something. Hell. Why not?
Yeah.
My favorite Eli story is when he was playing semi-pro football and he got so pissed off at a referee. He played the position of center. And he got so mad, he sprinted off the field to his car, which was parked close by the field, to get a gun out of his trunk to go back onto the field and shoot and kill the referee, which would have been odd because he became a cop. You know, that would have looked bad on a job interview. You know, I killed a referee in a football game. But he was that mad. I was running after him to his car, and all I was thinking was, oh, sweet, this is going to be great publicity. But, well, you know, I'd already worked at Mount Scenario's public relations department, so I knew a thing or two about publicity, Peggy.
Right, yeah.
That's right.
You're Captain John Perry, our boss.
That's right. That's right. And we, how shall I put this? Oh, yeah. We screwed off almost all the time. We had ourselves a great, great bowl of fun, didn't we?
We did. It was great. And it was Ladysmith, Wisconsin is such a neat little place. It was we'd go canoeing every weekend practically. My apartment was right on the Flambeau River, so we'd go canoeing all the time, and it was and there was a bar on every street practically in little Wisconsin town. So there was always something interesting going on.
Which was kind of amazing, since the college at that point in time only had about 100 students. We were tiny. We were playing schools we had no business playing in sports. We played the University of Minnesota, the Twin Cities. Big campus that has 60,000 students.
My
alma
mater.
We had 100, and we played them, and we tied them actually in soccer.
Yeah.
We played Grambling in basketball. We played the University of New Orleans. We did a road trip down south, and we were playing schools. When we would play a Wisconsin State University, that was a bye week, basically, for us, because we could almost phone in the results. We were that good, and they were that bad. Michigan Tech gave us a run for our money, and University of Minnesota Duluth gave us a run, but we beat them. But a Wisconsin State like Stevens Point or Eau Claire, we just would, that game would be over like 15 minutes into it. And it would be at that point that they would put me into the game. I had a colorful nickname just to, you know, highlight my skills at the game of soccer, and I was known as the Dancing Bear there at Mount Scenario. Yeah, the coach would turn his head, and he would go, Dancing Bear, take out number 4. And I would race onto the field and critically injure the opposing number 4. That was my job. I was the enforcer. I broke some poor kid's ankle. I mean, we all heard it snap, but it was a legal tackle. I will have to say that. It was completely legal. But, yeah, they put the Dancing Bear in just to sort of screw up the opposition and make them fearful. That's a legacy I am proud of, I might add. But, yeah, I miss the American Bar and Grill cheeseburgers. That's the only thing really that I miss.
But what was the little town where you lived? Not Ladysmith, but...
Then I lived in Glen Flora and Hawkins and Jump River and But anyway.
She's the one who told me about they would make mushroom katta. Did you ever have that? Mushroom catsup, like mushroom tomato that was mushrooms. And they took white for it. You don't remember that, I guess.
I don't. But on a similar note, my stepdaughter got bitten by a pig just last week.
A pig?
Yeah.
P-I-G?
Yeah. A pot-bellied kind. It charged her and bit her in the thigh. She had to go get tetanus shots and the whole nine yards.
Wow. Was it somebody's pet?
Yes. Yes, it was. And they were gone on vacation, and she had to take care of said pig. And the pig charged her, bit her in the thigh, and she immediately called me and said, "How does bacon sound for supper?" Yeah, that pig was not. For a brief time, that pig was not going to see daybreak. Yeah, it got her good. And
pretty docile, aren't they? Here we have like wild that are in like the parks and stuff that are really dangerous.
Well, out here in Arizona, javelinas. You don't want to try to pet a javelina. That is a wild, feral pig, basically, and it will hurt you. You don't want to mess with a javelina. So I've never eaten javelina, which is really kind of amazing. You would think that people out here would cook a javelina. It's pork. But
we'll eat squirrels and everything.
Yeah. I can remember being on an Amtrak train going up to Colorado, and we were going through New Mexico, and the engineer got on the loudspeaker and I had us looking for feral cows.
Feral cows?
I was on feral cows.
Feral cows?
Yeah, wild cows. Yeah.
We got wild feral cats here.
Well, we do too.
But these are big cats. These are big cats.
I fed six of them when I was, before I, was interred in the home. In fact, I have a feral cat. It used to be a feral cat. I civilized it, and it is with me as we speak. My cat Amelia started out as a feral, and She won the prize to come inside the house by walking, basically trotting up to me when she was a kitten and holding her paw out like we were going to shake hands. And I said, at that point, you just earn household status. So,
they were our neighbor's cats, but they weren't taking care of them, and they kept having kittens. And they had one of the mama cat had a kitten right in our carport, so they had the kitten. It was very, very tiny, but it turned out the mama and her two kittens were underneath my daughter's window, and then either the papa or the uncle, we're not sure which, showed up too, and then we just didn't have the heart to break up the little family. So suddenly we had But we had them all neutered and everything, so we're not contributing to the population of feral cats. But they weren't really feral. They're just neighborhood cats that didn't have anybody to take care of them.
Yeah.
You know that, what, John?
What?
I just Googled javelina recipes. So if you ever do get a chance to have javelina, they make it stew, chorizo, cheese javelina, adobo javelina, cochinita pibil, adobe javelina backstrap. So apparently people do eat them, although I've never seen them on a menu.
No, I've never seen them on a menu. And coincidentally, my stepdaughter just tried to call me after having recovered from the pig bite, and it was an interesting bite. You don't normally see pig bites on human skin. Ray, you've never seen one at the funeral home, have you?
No, never seen.
No one mauled to death by a pot-bellied pig. Huh. You would have thought that would have happened somewhere in a Brooklyn neighborhood.
Well, I had one shot by a hooker.
What?
I had a guy shot by a hooker.
Oh, did he not pay?
I guess not.
Apparently, there was something in the auditing that went awry, and he was shot by a hooker.
Yep.
Huh. So he's dead, and the hooker served probably a few years and then got out. And
yeah, probably.
I see. Well.
We're getting questions. Now, Mark is back on the board, and he sent some messages through. Kenneth from Peoria, Arizona, said, did you guys have a nice fourth? I made love to my wife in the bathtub and sprained my ankle.
Well, that's
Thanks
not
for,
good.
That's no good.
No. But, yeah, the fireworks were pretty damn good in Peoria and here in neighboring Youngtown, which is not. It's a
Did
play on words. Did we what?
Fireworks where you live?
We did, like right outside our windows, which, you know, we get the Sun City Fire and Ambulance crew out to the home daily. In fact, I was mentioning to another resident today that what we really needed to do was have a funeral home here in the complex. Because my stepdaughter and her family, they go to a church in Surprise, Arizona, and the church was supposed to be from birth to death. It had a, you know, a neonatal, I don't know, laboratory for babies or something, all the way up to a funeral home and a cemetery. They owned their own cemetery. They're trying to sell the cemetery as we speak, and I think Ray will chime in and tell you that selling a cemetery is a hard thing to do.
Believe it or not, it's not.
Really? Out here it is.
No, it's not hard to sell. You could take over a cemetery, but the burials have to be before 1930.
Oh.
Then can you still sell plots in it if you buy it? Is that how it works? Like
what, hon?
Down here, cremation is really popular, and the Neptune Society and Cremation Society, they're always advertising because we have an older population, I guess.
Cremation is going to be the way to go in the future.
Oh, yeah. Although you can now turn yourself into a plant or a tree or mushrooms.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they will.
They mulch you up.
Yeah, they. You become the
compost.
Plant's mulch.
Yeah, you become compost. They compost you.
Yeah.
What they do is they put you through a shredder into dirt, and then they turn the dirt, and they constantly turn it for about 60 days. And they keep adding dirt and turning the dirt.
Wasn't that one of the premises of the movie Fargo, feeding someone into a shredder?
Yeah.
That's got to hurt.
A guy killed his wife and put it through he rented a shredder and put it through the shredder. And that's how they caught him. You wash the damn thing out and you don't bring it back all full of blood.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's just the courteous thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to shred a human body in a shredder, for the love of God, clean it up when you're done. That's what we've learned this week on Eat Me. See, we like to leave both of our listeners with, you know, some sage advice.
Well,
and,
we're up to 36 listeners now, so it's going up.
How many?
236.
No way.
And we have some comments that are on a completely different note. Dalen from Chelmsford, Massachusetts says, "What's the most fertile animal? I thought dogs were. Sounds like cats, according to Peggy." Which, I don't know. They may be.
Mice, maybe? Mice off.
But Albert from Poway, California said, "Black Beach in San Diego is a nice nude beach you guys should check out." Back to our nude beach theme.
There you go.
Ralph from Pittsburgh Strip District says, "Anybody know a nice mac and cheese?" I don't know Pittsburgh, Ralph.
In Pittsburgh? No, You don't do mac and cheese in Pittsburgh. You do Panini Brothers. Come on. That's the only food you eat in Pittsburgh, damn it. You go get a sandwich and just count your blessings, because that is Pittsburgh's food.
And from Corvallis, Oregon says, "What happened to the bowling team a few months ago, that lady that was after Ray?" Did we ever from her? It's the lady from Pensacola? No, who was that? I don't remember.
Oh, I don't know. Everybody, you know, everybody was commenting about Ray last week, remember? He's known in the world of the blog or podcast as Leatherface, which makes him sound like he's either wearing a football helmet from the 1920s or he's a, how shall I put this politely, a serial killer in a horror movie. So I don't know, but he has a following, Peggy.
He does. You do.
Yeah, and it's unexplainable, but there it is. You know, I mean, here we go. Eli's not here tonight, and yet No one has commented that Eli is not with us tonight.
Yeah, where is Eli?
And yet, Ray misses a show, and our listeners go berserk. They have all these theories as to where Ray is, you know, and it just, it amazes me that he, Kem Jett, is the focal point most of the time.
Yeah. Did you miss us?
I'll tell you, I'm popular in Wiesbaden, Germany. They have a Captain Jett Club out there. They have over 500 members in Wiesbaden, Germany.
And the club is for you?
Yeah, Captain Jett Club. Wiesbaden, Germany. Gangrene, Germany.
Why is there a club in your honor, Ray?
Because there's a club out there, and it's Gangrene, Germany. They're all Jet fans. They're all elite Jet fans. And they fly in for games from they fly in from Wiesbaden to New Jersey to the stadium, and they come to Jet games.
Okay, tonight. Our definition of insanity brought to you by Captain Jett. Anyone that flies from Germany to New Jersey to see a New York Jets home game, well, that's your definition of
insanity.
I would imagine. And there's 500 in the club, huh?
Yeah. I go out with them. They come over. When they come over, I go out. We go out to dinner. We go out to my rib place, and where I have my rib fest. And they come out. They've flown over for my rib fest. I had my last rib fest. They didn't come, but the one before last year, they came to the rib fest. They fly over and come to the rib fest. They're all big business owners out there. And they fly in. They fly in for Jet games all the time. They go all over the country. They go to road games for the with the Jets.
Ah. Well, that's really...
Oh, wow.
They're really a great bunch of guys. They are. They're terrific.
Have you ever been over to them?
I've never gone to an NFL game in Germany. My family's originally from Wiesbaden.
Okay. Okay.
I've been to Wiesbaden.
Okay. And there's a 500 member Captain Jett Club.
Yep.
It's
Gangrene, Germany, and
yeah,
it's primarily around me.
I'll be damned.
Wow, that's
yep.
something.
That
yeah,
is.
Oh, yeah. They're a great bunch of guys.
Huh.
Jerry from Flint, Michigan says, long live Leatherface. His Jets suck. Go Lions.
yeah.
Zach from
Boston
says, Eli's giving tickets on his tricycle. Where is Dairy Man? Whose boobs are bigger, Peggy or Cindy from the Assisted Living? No comment.
Oh, my God.
I know. We have such interesting listeners, don't we?
We do. We do. Absolutely.
We're up to 251 now. So that's good.
Yeah, I suppose. But didn't last week we have 326 or something?
Yeah.
I feel as if, you know, we have failed if we don't at least hit 300. I don't know.
I know, and we only have 5 minutes to go.
Yeah,
so
self-loathing comes into
up.
Play.
Call your friends quickly so they can get more people.
That's right. That's right. Hang up and call again. You
right.
know, do whatever you need to do. I don't, you know. God. But let's try to at least hit 300, or else I will spend this next week loathing myself. Which, oh, by the way, the home for the criminally insane where I live is only about 4 blocks from a marijuana dispensary, which I went and visited this past week, and lo, the brownies were good.
So they have field trips there?
Well, here's what I did, and I'm being honest now. I brought the brownies back, and we play poker every Tuesday and Saturday nights. Me and the little old ladies, we play poker. And so I brought the brownies to show them how wonderful looking they were, because these were like gourmet brownies. I mean, one of them had a caramel raspberry thing going on, and I mean, these were not your average run-of-the-mill brownies, and they all wanted to try it. And so I gave them, you know, small pieces, but yeah, there's nothing quite like a bunch of 80, 90-year-old people who are high on marijuana. They're just so much fun to be around. They think they can fly. They want to fly. But they're confined to a wheelchair.
So they have races in the wheelchairs?
No, but they bring dogs to the poker game, and the dogs race around the facility. And now I possibly am expected to bring marijuana brownies every week for poker. But, you know, it adds an entirely new dimension to the game of poker, I will admit.
We are up to 200.
I had 4 aces and lost a hand. I lost a hand, and I was holding 4 aces.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there's only one thing that beats 4 aces. And they happen to have the royal flush. Oh, anyway.
Wow.
We're running out of time now, aren't we?
2 minutes to go. So I don't know if we're going to make it to 300, but thanks to all the 276 people who are listening.
276?
Yep, it's getting better.
So close. So damn close. I don't know.
Well, next week they got to bring in their friends.
They do. They do. And we've got to find...
If 275 callers bring in their friends, we're going to have almost 1,000 people.
Well, that's figuring that 275 have friends. All right. You know, our audience is really kind of peculiar.
Yeah.
They're the kind of people that hide in their bathrooms and listen to us. Those people tend not to have lots of friends.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're running out of time. It's time to say see ya next week. Until next Thursday, we wish you all well. I'm John Guy.
I'm Peg Palmer. Thanks for listening.
And I'm Ray the Undertaker. Thanks for listening.
All right. We'll see you guys next Thursday.